All right, it is Film Study with Ken McCusick. It's been a while since we've done one of these. Ken, how are you doing?
Life's good, Josh. How about you?
I'm doing well because the Orioles signed Alex Cobb. I'm extremely excited about that. But today, we're going to talk about a different signing. The Ravens had an interesting week last week where they announced a sign-in and then a failed physical and then signed Michael Crabtree this past Friday, about 5 days ago. And, of course, Crabtree is what we're going to break down and talk about the Michael Crabtree sign-in and his performance. Now, you spent some time for this article for Russell Street Report where you went and watched all of his plays last season.
Yeah, you watch all of his targets, not quite all of his plays. That's kind of targets. An important distinction. So we went through and we go through the game books and we find every single play where he's mentioned, including some penalties where it's not a pass to him necessarily. And then we looked at every single one using Game Pass. It's fairly easy to look up those plays once you have the quarter and time references. I've left those in the article in a spreadsheet format, so if anybody else wants to go and analyze it themselves, they can. I'd encourage you to do that. You can really see who Michael Crabtree is from that those 101 plays plus about 11 penalties. So it's good fun. It took us about 5 hours with Maureen recording it and me taking a look at it on the screen, and then a couple more hours to write it up, and we're good.
All right, that's not 5 hours is not too bad. As long as you were able to compile all that stuff. So let's start with some just glances at Crabtree. Coming in, he's a guy who we know him as a 49er. But he hasn't been a 49er for, what, 3 years? Did he spend years in Oakland?
So 3 years in Oakland, 6 years in San Francisco before that.
Right. So he's not the same guy he was in San Francisco, right?
No. Now, his yards per catch in particular have dropped significantly since he left San Francisco. At San Francisco, he averaged 12.5 yards a catch, and he's down to 11 yards a catch in Oakland. So even on the balls he is catching, he's not getting as many yards. Part of that is yak-related. He's not a big yak threat, and also he just doesn't have the vertical explosiveness that he had more of as a younger player.
All right, and also no longer being a younger player, having 6 years in the league means he's not as fast as he used to be, correct?
Oh, yeah, for sure. That vertical explosiveness, I just mentioned, he's now down to having to manipulate that opposing corner to get free vertically. And that's very important because he could make a living and a good living if he could sell and then turn around for the 10-yard hitch play on the sideline that Flacco lived with bread and butter with Mason in his first couple of years. So it's something that I think that could be back, but in order for it to be successful, he's got to be able to sell the fact that it might be a double move and he's going to be vertically explosive when that happens and beat you for a big play. And that's where when his production falls off, it'll probably be because corners realize they can probably catch up to him and he doesn't have the ability to manipulate them anymore. But it's true. Anywhere on the field, he's used that ability to go either short or long, and he's also in the red zone been able to do the same thing, basically selling the fade route and coming back with a curl or an out to the pylon. So that's vertically. This is not a player that's going to provide what Wallace did or what Brown might or even what Moore could. He's a possession receiver.
Okay, so he is a Steve Smith replacement. Would you go that
way? Yeah, well, Steve Smith probably had more vertical explosiveness, but Steve Smith also possession over the middle guy. They have some similarities that they both work very hard on the individual play. They both work very hard as plays are extended to get open and help the quarterback, and they have an understanding, and therefore they gain an additional level of trust with the quarterback because they're willing to do that. So a lot of that would be true. But Steve Smith was still a great yak guy when he was last with the Ravens.
Right.
And he also had a better catch rate than Crabtree did. And this some of that goes hand in hand. When you don't get a lot of separation, your catch rate tends to go down. And last year, Crabtree was just 57.4%. He's averaged 59.1 over the last 3 years. And when you compare that to other possession receivers like Danny Amendola, Steve Smith, or Antonio Brown, you get much higher average catch rates than that. And he had a good quarterback to work with in Carr, but he did not deliver on a high catch rate.
Well, what about that relationship with the quarterback? You mentioned how he extends plays, so he ends up earning the trust of the quarterback. We had a lot of wide receivers this year that it did not seem Flacco trusted them. It seemed like they never clicked. So you're saying that he had a great relationship with Carr? Carr trusted him from what you could tell?
Yeah, I mean, in some cases to Crabtree's statistical detriment, I believe, because Carr would, first of all, Crabtree's routes, generally speaking, are outside the number. Of his 101 targets, 74 of them were outside the numbers. So he's really plays the sideline. And why they do that is to get him in one-on-one coverage so there's not safety help or linebacker help or they're not throwing over a level or anything like that. It's just he wants that single coverage. So when he has that, Carr will throw him the ball even though he's not open. And a couple things happen then. One is Carr doesn't have the great arm strength that Flacco has to deliver a laser to the outside. And Flacco's been able to do that his entire career, whatever else you might think about him. And the second of the fact is, because someone's always close, there's a chance for a pass defense, and there's a chance for an interception. And there are higher rates of passes defense, in particular, versus Crabtree than I've ever seen analyzing another receiver. He just a lot of balls end up being contested, and he has a lot of trouble hauling it in under those circumstances. And if I would add one more point to that is that Carr would get in trouble in the pocket, and his natural mechanism at that point was throw it up in Crabtree's direction because he knew Crabtree would have a high probability to prevent the interception even if he didn't make the reception himself. So I think that hurt his stats a little.
Okay, but that's impressive. If the quarterback is, if you're the type of receiver that the quarterback's counting on you, we haven't entrusted you more than himself in many ways. We haven't seen that in Baltimore.
No,
in a while.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, it would have been like Pitta's relationship with Flacco was similar, probably Steve Smith. Of course, Derek Mason in the distant past.
Is it that relationship with the quarterback, that trust from Carr, why his end zone targets were so high?
Let's see. I mean, he had his red zone targets.
He's got lots of touchdown passes, much higher than anyone on the Ravens have had. And that's what I'm wondering. Is that because he trusts the quarterback? Is it the double move he's doing that makes him works in that short distance?
Yeah, I think he's a good red zone target in particular because he can sell the fade versus the curl of the out to the pylon. So you know what I'm talking about when I say the fade route. He's going towards the back pylon in the corner of the end zone.
Right.
And the curl of the out, he's coming back towards the front pylon. And a lot of quarterbacks like to work with that if they like to throw a line drive or a laser. And Flacco will be good with that. If the last game of the year against Cincinnati, the touchdown pass to Wallace was just that sort of route, and it was something Flacco really likes jamming the ball in there when he sees that window.
All right. If score some more touchdowns, that's got to do well. We've had a lot of frustrations with wide receivers this past season, as Raven fans, and I'm sure this isn't the only thing the Ravens are doing, but it seems like they've decided we're rebuilding our wide receivers completely, it looks like, and it's starting with this guy. Do you think this is a good move for the Ravens?
I like it in terms of the price relative to an incredibly overpriced market. The first day of free agency, and this is always a good reason to wait on free agency, the first day of free agency was ridiculous in terms of pricing. You had Sammy Watkins going for $16 million a year for 3 years, and a whole bunch of other players going. Then the Ravens signed Grant, and Grant goes for $29 million for 4 years, which just seems, with 14 of that guaranteed, which seems outrageous, frankly, for a guy with his resume. And then Crabtree became available, and Ryan Grant failed his physical, and that combination obviously made it possible for the Ravens to sign Crabtree. I don't think they would have done it if Grant had not failed his physical. I may be wrong about that.
Okay. Did you, before Grant failed his physical, did you start getting deep in on Grant and what type of player he was?
You know, I was waiting to make sure the thing happened, and then I was happy that I did. But yes, we would have done the same thing for Grant. This is something we did for Bolden back in the time, and something we did for Steve Smith as well when he got acquired.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, I was wondering. I just had questions about Grant, if you had gone deep in that, because it seemed like so much money for Grant compared to this deal.
And, yeah, it was absurd.
And this was a guy that Crabtree people actually draft in fantasy football. If you play fantasy football, you know who Crabtree is because you've drafted him or someone on your team has. Grant was not one of those guys necessarily.
Yeah, Grant, I would say, would have a higher ceiling than Crabtree in terms of what he might produce in terms of yardage in a year. But Crabtree, you're getting more of a known. You have less of a long-term commitment, less guaranteed money. It's all positive.
Right. You listed on your article that you're expecting 70 catches, about 800 yards, and 7 to 8 touchdowns 2018.
Now that comes with a big if. And he's got to stay healthy the whole year, and he's got to not get in Harbaugh's doghouse. And stay healthy, probably 60%. He's been a healthy player, but he's older. And stay out of Harbaugh's doghouse. What do you think? 70%?
80%? I haven't done. Is there any? I don't remember any issues with Crabtree in Oakland. But that doghouse does. I am surprised some of the people that end up in that doghouse.
Mm-hmm.
So, how does that compare with guys we had previously?
Well, Wallace had 748 yards last year, and it wasn't a particularly great year for him. He did have 4 touchdowns. He's more of an all or nothing threat, where he would have a lot of his yards come on longer pass plays. There's nothing wrong with that. You need that as a complementary player. He wasn't bad. I just wouldn't have gone for big money this year. I think the Browns signing is probably a slightly better value than what the Ravens would have gotten from Wallace.
Okay. I did forget he did get in that fight last season, so that there is a little bit of that right. Might be a little red flag thinking of the doghouse.
Yeah, that cost him 2 games because he was thrown out 3 minutes into that game. Tlaib was thrown out also, which actually probably a good deal for Oakland to get Tlaib thrown out with Crabtree. But in any case, it wasn't a good thing. And they both were suspended originally for 2 games, and then they both got reduced to 1 game after an appeal. So anyway, 2 games missed. It wasn't good.
All right. Am I missing anything else on Crabtree?
I mean, I think Howie acts with the rest of the team may be one of the real interesting things to watch this year. He's a obviously a fiery guy. I think you could see some T.O. like diva-ness on the sidelines. So he could quite possibly end up getting into it with Marty Morningweg or the receivers coach or maybe even another receiver. So hopefully he's a good teammate.
I kind of like that T.O. attitude from a football player, and I expect wide receivers are divas.
Mm-hmm.
I saw he shared that he was a Ravens fan his whole life until he got drafted, and he was always dreamt of playing on the Ravens. Do you believe that, or you think he's just saying that?
He could be telling the truth. It'd be great if he was. I'd rather ask him some questions about who are the players you really looked up to growing up, and then see if that all fit together.
I laughed because I laughed because what I did was look up his birth date, and he was 9 years old when the Ravens came to Baltimore.
Nine years old, 13.
And living in Dallas. So unless as a teenager he fell in love with Ray Lewis, I don't know what he's talking about.
Because he would have been, when the Dallas was winning the Super Bowls in 93, 94, 95, he would have been a little younger. But when the Ravens won the Super Bowl, that might have been when he was first becoming a fan. And
right,
I guess 13, it's possible.
14, so not as a little child, but a teenager maybe.
Yeah, I don't think I'm not buying the story that he looked up to Qadri Ismail and he wanted to be just like him.
No. So, all right, well, the Ravens made a move. They got one wide receiver. We've got another month and a half until the draft, right? Draft's at the end of April?
Yeah, end of April or is it end of May now? This is really bad that
maybe
I don't know
maybe
this.
Maybe it's 2 months away. Either way, I'm going to look that up right now, but they've got a lot still to do.
Yeah, end of April. It begins Thursday the 26th, so it's
all right.
It's about 37 days away.
About a month away, a little more over a month. You still think they're going to expand with getting young wide receiver in the draft, or you think we should look for them to sign another free agent before then?
Okay, that's really a big question. I do think they'll get one wide receiver in the draft at some point. I think they'll for certain have to draft a tight end in the draft. But the team's biggest need by far now with the recent moves is offensive tackle. They don't have anybody other than Stanley who they can really trust to play the position. And they could probably trust Yanda to play the position, but that kills all your flexibility. And by the way, Yanda's being offered out to every other position because he'd literally be the best Ravens player at four of the five offensive line positions. If he played center, either guard position, or right tackle, he'd be the best. Only left tackle, you wouldn't want him over Stanley. But yeah, the Ravens are going to have to do something to shore that up. Ryan Jensen got a huge deal from the Bucs, very well deserved, by the way. But it's the kind of deal that I wish more current Ravens or more Ravens in general would invest in their own careers the way that Ryan Jensen did, to spend an off season getting in shape to play the game. And then get really paid off for it. I'm fine that he only did it in his contract year, but I would prefer if more players were doing it and hopefully prior to their contract years.
Okay, Brichard Perryman, will he be back with the Ravens?
I think the chance is still pretty good that he will be. It's year three for him, so his option. I'm sorry, it's year four for him coming up, isn't it? Year four.
I believe it's four.
Yeah. Yes, he's here for it. This is the end of his optionality. There is value to cutting him in terms of a cap gain, so it's possible they'll cut him for that reason, because they have zero optionality left. They did not pick up his fifth-year option, so they don't own him or the rights to him or the ability to offer him any kind of a tag of any sort. I guess they could end up franchising him or something, but that's not realistic.
Yeah, now so you're talking miracles.
Yeah, so he'd really have to break out with a big year. Now, that said, I don't know what Brashad's been doing this offseason. Hopefully not nothing or shooting craps or whatever, but hopefully he's been doing more than to improve his receiving skills. But 2 years ago, in his second year, he was a pretty good receiver in terms of, we saw flashes that you could have a star there. Anyway, I'd like to see him on the field. I'd like to see what he can do, at least in the summer, and hopefully he still is a ball player for the Ravens.
All right. One more draft question. Is this a year for a quarterback?
Mid or late round is a possibility. Now, we discussed this a little bit on the show with Brian about the salary cap.
Yes.
So you know that Flacco is in a kind of a make or break year, because the cost next year will only be, I think it's $16 million to unload him, and they can split that over 2 years at $8 million per year.
Right, yeah.
And so,
yeah, I was just going to say, yeah, this coming year is big for Harbaugh, big for Flacco.
Yeah. I would agree. I think, if I had to guess, Greg Roman is sitting on the sideline and could be an interim coach who gets a chance on a full-time basis. So, you've got people on the sideline who are waiting. That's always dangerous. And obviously they could do another search, as they did for Harbaugh, to find, the next really good young coach, which would make a lot of sense if they indeed feel they need to move on from him.
Right. All right, Ken. Well, at least the Ravens did something exciting. It's been an exciting 5-6 days for Baltimore sports fans, with the Ravens making a sign, the Orioles making a sign, and then UMBC played well with the tournament. So we've had some fun Baltimore sports, and now we get some snow on the first day of spring. So
yeah, with 8 days to opening day, and it really feels like it, doesn't it?
It looks like baseball season out there. All right, Ken, so I want people to go over to Russell Street Report. You mentioned this article. They need to read this. Are you working on something else right now, or getting ready for the next move the Ravens will make?
I have a few things on the burner right now. We're going to do a podcast and a radio show on comparing the 2006 defense to the current defense, to see what elements are really replicatable given the changes in personnel. So that'll be an interesting thing. I'm doing it with Dev Penchwa. The radio portion we'll do on air with Tony, and the podcast portion we'll do with you. And
all right.
Hopefully we'll that'll be about the end of the month.
Right, so that'll be the Fanimal on Saturday mornings.
The Fanimal on Saturday mornings. So it's an 8 o'clock show. Anyway, tell them about your show, Josh.
Yeah.
At Film Study Ravens to follow me on Twitter. I'm sorry about that. And
no
Josh,
problem.
Tell them about your show.
Yeah, my show is Section 336, and now is when you want to come on board, because baseball season is when my podcast gets excited. In fact, today's Wednesday, and we've already done two episodes of Section 336 this week, because we had Derek Arnold on Tuesday on Monday night to talk about some of the stuff going on at spring training. And the one thing we purposely avoided during the whole conversation is rotation talk, because we didn't want to get into the rotation. And sure enough, the next day, the Orioles signed Alex Cobb. So Matt and I hopped on the mics, and we had a emergency podcast episode we put out last night to talk about the Alex Cobb signing, which the two of us are extremely excited about and think that's a big difference maker for the Orioles this year. So check out Section 336 on Apple Podcasts, Facebook, all that stuff.
Now, since we don't have sponsors, let's take just a moment on that, because I know you're excited about the Alex Cobb signing, and I would have been if they'd signed him prior to the 2015 season. He was actually hurt that year, but through 4 years, he looked like one hell of a pitcher.
Yes, and then he had Tommy John. Uh-huh. And then he's been healing from Tommy John. So he had this magic pitch that they called the Thing, and it was basically a change-up splitter mix. And he would throw that before he got Tommy John. Last year, it was his first full year back. After Tommy John, he did not throw that pitch. And all of the experts say the changeup is the last pitch that you get back after rehabbing from Tommy John. And Alex Cobb today was saying that the changeup is back, that he will be throwing the changeup. So I'm extremely excited to see Alex Cobb, who was better last year than anyone on the Orioles, and now to have that changeup back. This deal, this $60 million, 4 years, could look like a steal in a couple years.
I hope you're right. You know, at age 30 this season, you know, it's someone that I don't like to generally buy into 30-year-old pitchers. And since he came back from Tommy John, he's given up 1.2 homers per nine innings, whereas he was right around 0.6, I guess, before then for his career.
Right, that's that. Yeah, that's that pitch and that difference. And he's healthy, even with all the bad stats that you want to say from last year, it's still better than anyone else that's on the Oriole team. So I'm excited about that, excited about the fact that we have a rotation with actually five professional pitchers now. It's been a while since I could say that. So, yeah, I'm all bought in, and I think that this season could be fun. We have a shot at the wild card now. I still think the Yankees are going to run away with the AL East. The Red Sox are going to run away with the first wild card, but that second wild card is well within reach of the Orioles. And I'm also very excited about the four-year deal, because I think that extends this window that we all thought maybe this window closes when Manny leaves at the end of this season. And it looks like there's at least going to be some pitching here the next 3 years after this, so maybe you can put something together.
Okay.
Plus, the Orioles spent money, and that's a positive.
What about, do you think this affects the re-signing of Scope?
I think that this gives me hope for a re-signing of Scope, because you're going to want to put other guys out there. You're going to clear some payroll with Manny and Jones and Britton leaving. And the fact that you've signed long-term for him, Cashner, for 2 years, and you know you've got Gausman, Bundy, this gives me hope that you're going to want to keep Scope around as well.
All right. Do you guys talk at all in retrospect about the opportunities missed to trade Britton or Alexander? Sorry, or Manny.
Yes. It sucks. Yes. Yeah. We missed them both. Britton, I really thought we should have traded early on after he was in those Cy Young nominations. I thought that was the time to trade him. They didn't. He got hurt. It sucks. Manny, I am going to enjoy watching Manny play baseball this year. And if the Orioles are still in line for the wild card slot come July, I don't want to trade him. If you get into the playoffs this year, I won't be mad at the Orioles for not trading Manny Machado. If they have a horrible season, they blew it with not getting rid of Manny Machado.
Okay, well, that's not really fair at them, because they have to make the judgment now as well.
Oh, of course they do. Of course they do. But the question is, if you're going to keep Manny for this year, then you need to put in as much as you can and do whatever you can do to make this year matter. Otherwise, you should have traded Manny. The truth is, they should have traded Manny last year, and the fact that they let it go to this offseason meant it was kind of wasted anyway.
Right. I agree with that. And they had a chance to direct Machado outside of the division by trading him last year, and now he's going to end up with the Yankees almost certainly. Or at least seems that way. There's already tampering going on that effect.
Yeah. My money's on Philly. I think he ends up in Philly.
Okay.
But we'll see. So, all right, Ken. Thanks for another film study. We'll be back in a few weeks with the podcast that you just mentioned, and then we'll be getting ready for the draft in about a month as well. So, I'll talk to you then.
Sounds good. Talk to you later.